Remember Cornet Mamabolo, who used to play T-Balls on SABC1's Skeem Saam? He might have left the show in 2021, but he's gearing to make a comeback this June on an upcoming film called Studying Under the Barrel of a Gun. Chisa Live spoke to the actor on his character and making his debut as an executive producer.
Yes, Umzansi Celebville is filled with flavor.
But you know that ge o batla go tseba gore fame e re mongwaneng, or who secured the latest bag,
or just who's dripping with sauce,
and who's adding the spice.
Jonga yonke into nje.
Because if it's hot, then it's definitely in the Chisa pod.
Chisa!
Congratulations on your comeback on screen.
It's a proper comeback, ne?
It's a proper comeback. Tell me about it, right? Because you were on Skeem Saam and, you know, you decided to exit the show. How did Teboho convince you to come back and in this type of capacity, not just as an actor, but also as an executive producer?
I'm thinking, no, he dealt with me. He made it like it's quite a light thing to do, Oban. There isn't much work to do. You know how guys propose girls. Not expecting much from you, just to get to know each other, and we'll see where it goes. That's how it really started. But on a serious note, though, I think it's the story. It's just a story. Like when he explained the story to me about the occupation that happened in the university, and I managed to get hold of the material of the book that inspired the movie, managed to get his vision around the movie, his vision in the sector, you know, the film industry. So then that gave me comfort, you see. And I was like, I think this is a beautiful project to be part of.
Absolutely. And with the role that you're playing also, I mean, you talk about the story altogether. You know, you have people like Ernest Khoza who speak of, no, but I lived the story. And just Teboho Malope, who also speaks about just how heavy it is to tell the story because of the responsibility that comes with it. For you, tell me about just that element or aspect of things for you with the fact that this is a true story and some of the people that have been part of the story are still alive. Just the weight of that also and that responsibility that you decided to carry with the portrayal of your character.
With regard to the story itself, I think to having to engage the guys that are in the story that were part of that generation of 1986, to sit down with them and get to hear their story, that alone is just inspirational. It's a motivation enough to want to do justice to the story, you see, and to the movie itself. We engaged a whole lot of people and some figures that we managed to interview, they were quite emotional, you know? And it felt, you know, sitting down with certain, you know, guys that were at the university of the, at the time, really, I think, hey, Kore, you know, we had a perspective of how we need to go into the movie, but having to sit down with a whole lot of those guys actually broadened our perspective and approach towards the movie. So I'm playing a big guy in the movie, but he's not the main character in the movie, if you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
So Peter Mukaba is a, I mean, he is at the center of our politics and has inspired a lot of people that are currently in government as we speak. So, and obviously the expectations are a lot from myself. But I think it's exciting for me to play Peter, Mukaba. We all look up to him. We know he's one of the, you know, strong activists that managed to pay, that contributed a lot towards the democracy of this country.
Mm.
So it's an exciting one for me as well. And to reconnect with Debza as well, because the last time we worked together was in a series. Now to work on this project whereby, you know, we are partners in a project and also I'm able to experience his talent again as a director. I think that's quite exciting for me as well.
We know you to be an actor, but you also, of course, mentioned that you're not just playing an actor in this specific project, but you're also an executive producer. Is this the first time that you're stepping into that role as well?
Yeah, I've never produced anything for screen.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be the first, really. Yeah.
Tell me about that, and just the different roles that you get to play. I mean, if you're saying that this is your debut as executive producer, just the expectations going into stepping into that new role for you, what does that really come with?
I wish I had this role too. It's a tough one. It's exciting. I think me personally, beyond the executive producing role, I enjoy creating work. Mm. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Mm. I enjoy that space and seeing things coming together.
Mm.
So with this one, I'm used to being just an actor on set. I'm used to be the problem child on set. I'm used to be the one that, you know, needs to be called and say, couldn't throw away image, the car is outside to pick you up.
Mm.
I'm used to be the guy that wants the crew to, you know, to pamper him.
Mm.
Or when you're on set. But this time around, the tables have turned, Owen.
Mm.
And I think more than anything, it comes with a lot of pressure. Because mm-hmm. this is a self-funded project. We have those financial challenges there and there.
Mm.
And sometimes it's difficult to look at crew in the eyes. It's a difficult project, man. Mm. It's a tough one, but it's worth it, you know?
Absolutely.
It's worth it. It's challenging, but it's worth it, yeah.
Absolutely. Before I let you go, one last question. Does this mean you're back to acting? Because, I mean, you know, now that you're back on set, I'm sure you're like, I've missed it.
You know, one of the things that I think I'm grateful for this project for is the fact that I'm able to see the entire creative process of the film.
Mm.
So I'm able to see all the actors, their different styles of acting, mm. the decisions that they're making towards the story,
mm-hmm.
you know, motivation around, you know, how the costume and the makeup is looking the way they are.
Mm.
And now, so because you've seen so much talent from the other side, mm. hey, to a certain degree, you're like, let me just leave this thing to people that are really gifted in this thing,
mm.
and allow actors to really take a center stage, you know?
Mm.
And especially, I think, also what is exciting about it is the fact that we're also introducing new talent through the movie.
Yes.
You know, some of the amazing actors that the country has never seen on their screen,
mm.
and I think having to experience them, it's going to be a beautiful thing for all of us when everything has come together. So, yeah, acting will always be there. But like I've said before, with me, it's no longer about, just going and saying, can I go act, you know?
Mm.
The story needs to be beautiful. The terms of engagement needs to make sense for all of us.
Mm.
So acting, there will always be a space for it. But in the same breath, must also allow growth over.
Absolutely.
Studying Under the Barrel of a Gun is a star-studded film featuring the likes of King Monada, comedian Mashavela, and so much more. Director Tobe Romalope tells us all about it and what it takes to make a film of this caliber.
So how did we balance budget, cost, and the duty to get this story right? I think you can't compromise anything, and so that was the hardest part here. And so It's a difficult question to answer because it's a period piece and the story exists. So, I don't know how to answer this one, but you can't really compromise on anything. You have to get it right. And, it's easy to Google the numbers, but for period pieces of this nature with the crowds and the cast of this pedigree and this crew that we had, for a feature film of this nature at about 2 hours, you're looking at anything north of 40 million rands to do. And so I know, and that 40 is even a tight squeeze to get it right. And so for us to have managed to have pulled this off so quickly with not nearly that level of resources is testament to the team and everybody involved. Whose voice was I most afraid of betraying? Honestly, it's the young people of today. I know the stories that's been told through the voice of the students of the University of the North, but it's actually reflective of the young people of today. And I would like for them to watch this movie and hear their own voices, or give their own voices sharpness and clarity. So I really don't want to betray the youth of today so they get alienated and go, that's not our voice, it's theirs. But I want them to hear their own voice in this movie. Well, as EP on this movie and with my co-executive producer, Cornette Mamabolo, we've got a couple of impact campaigns that are lined up. One of them is to mobilize and get businesses to fund schools to come and see this movie, from high schools to universities. We've also opened initiatives where universities can pre-order the books, because we're launching the books on the 21st of May. So we'd like schools to pre-order books for their students. And then there's a score soundtrack that comes out on the 28th of May. And so we've got initiatives around exposing these stories to young people. We're going to do roadshows with some of the cast. Some of the cast that includes King Monada and Mashabela. And Cornette Mamabolo, my co-executive producers. And so we want to hit schools, high schools, exposing them on the power of film, exposing them on the opportunities in the film industry, but also on the story that we are specifically telling. And yes, we hope businesses can come on board with us, sponsor schools, bring them to the cinema. Not only it'll become a youth initiative for the businesses, but it also sustain those industries that exist. And at the same time, exposing young people to their craft and also their stories that are a big part of our heritage. And the biggest directing challenge was everything. And the tone, the politics around it, the weight of the survivors, the archive, everything. Everything was a challenge on this movie. Everything. I've directed many movies and a lot of the stuff that I've done, I mean, the Siya Kolisi movie was also based on a real human being and real stories. But this one in particular had a weight. It felt more like a collective weight of heritage. It felt, if you tell a story of, say, a Siya Kolisi, it feels like, yes, you're telling a story of South Africa, but using the point of view of an individual. On the other hand, this story has a collective point of view, as a collective lens, and that lens has implications on the past and the present and on the future. And so it feels like it's more than a story. It feels like it's more than a movie. It's also a responsibility. And I think that carries a lot of weight in itself. Why this story and why now? What made 2026 the right moment to put this on screen? Well, firstly, the numbers, right? It's the 40-year anniversary of the Turfloop, University of Turfloop occupation, the military occupation. So this year, it's a commemoration of 40 years, but also it's a commemoration of 50 years of June 16. And so for this youth month, it feels pivotal as these key years, 50 and 40, are good years to start reflecting on the contribution of young people in our society at large. So outside of the fact that the story had to be told, but that it's the 40th anniversary of the story is something special. And also this year, the university is becoming part of a heritage line as a heritage site. And so I think this film and this story becomes a key visual for the celebrations of the university as part of the heritage line. What's the one scene in the production that I fought to get right or that the history books left out? I think Reverend Frank Chikane's contribution to the whole student activism mode goes unspoken. And I think he was, if not the most critical player in helping the students win against the military occupation. When everybody else was worried about getting involved, saying Reverend Frank took the lead and was brave enough to stand with the students against all odds. And so there are scenes in the movie that tell that part of the story. And also there's a side of Reverend Frank that not too many people know about. And there's one moment that I'm super excited to show the world, the type of individual and leader that the Reverend Frank Chikane was. So I think the story of Reverend Frank Chikane was critical for me to include in the story of the occupation of the students. The one story that really broke us in the writing room was the story of Josephine Mashobane, who was brutally tortured and beaten and then paraded in the university in front of the other students as an example for the students to not try and stand against the regime. Even me saying that it sounds super emotional. So we included it just in honor of her. But yeah, that was really the most heartbreaking scene in the movie, or a scene that I found out about as we were writing it. I think because a lot of the students that existed at the time, most of them are still around, you know, and most of them are key leaders in our society, in civil society, in business, some of them in politics, some of them in the entertainment world. People don't know that, like, a sports commentator like Babu Mteta was one of the students there, and celebrated journalist JJ Tabane was one of the students there at the time. And so I think when people watch the story, they'll see that at the end of the day, they were all triumphant, and now they're leading society in all the aspects. So it's a story about triumphing over oppression and suppression. So I'm not that well known with happy endings, but I think this is going to be one of the greatest happy endings that any audience is going to see.
The film not only retells South Africa's history, but also showcases it on a high scale. Let us know what you're looking forward to most with this film. Until then, it's goodbye for now. I am Joy Mpande.